Thank you. Thank you, George. Thank you, Ruth Cotton. Thank you, Brother Dan. We praise the Lord Jesus for his goodness. We thank him for one another. We thank him that we are his body. The body is the outward and visible expression of the abiding and invisible presence within. We are the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you. Don't you know that your body is the temple, not shack? Not even synagogue. Temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple is the unique place of the altar. The place of atonement, the place of redemption, the place of grace. On the inside of you. Isn't it wonderful? I join all of you in thanking God for Camps Father Stout, for all it means to be a part of this movement. For those who are in heaven ahead of us, waiting for us to be prepared to receive that which heaven wants to give us. I trust you have long gotten over a point of view of life moving toward an escape hatch where your soul flits away to an eternal ethereal cloud. For the prayer of our Lord is, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The last one who gave us a report from heaven that's recorded in scriptures saw it as a new Jerusalem and said it was headed this way. New Jerusalem, adorned as a bride for her husband. When those ladies start dancing at night as streetwalkers, I thought, Lord, is that your bride? But it was wonderful. When I say streetwalkers, I say that in a good sense. I do. I think it's just great, beautiful. For we do have diversity in our walk, don't we? I want to thank God for the program committee that invited me to share this evening time with Mary Virginia. I don't know of anyone who deserves this honor less than I, nor appreciates it more. For a long time, CFO has been my spiritual home. And I praise you. Thank God. Let's bow our hearts before him. In thanksgiving and praise for those who've been used, Lord, his own seven in particular, but all the others, for CFOI that has just concluded its meeting, our leaders' retreat, and now for the National Association. For our wonderful delegates, brothers and sisters, gathering from over the world, how we praise you. We're mindful that we're constantly being undergirded by those who love us and keep us in your presence. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the unseen cloud of witnesses. that ever attend our way. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of being birthed of, filled with, led by the Holy Spirit, who glorifies Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, you have given yourself to us. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we give ourselves to you. Thank you for letting that wonderful exchange be our experience here together. Hallelujah. Help me now to be given over to you and used for your glory. Amen. Dr. Eugene Peterson has written a contemporary translation of the New Testament, or written a translation in contemporary English. And I rather like it. It's called The Message. And I'm going to read from it tonight a portion of Romans 8. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we're going to get to what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to come through the good times with Him. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready, and God can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. And that is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. Eating for two. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right along beside and within, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of our love for God is worked into something good. Hallelujah. It is right and fitting to have our emphasis on prayer, not for this session only, but for every day for the rest of our lives. Gaps farthest out can be rightly understood when seen and accepted as a move of the Holy Spirit that calls the world to prayer. Through us, God is calling the world to prayer. And we are discovering that prayer is not something we do. It is a life we live. Prayer is not something that originates within us. Prayer is in the heart of God. I went through a stage in my life where I wanted to learn to pray because I wanted to be powerful for God. And I wanted the world to know it. And I wanted to learn how to pray so I could influence heaven. I'd hear those old camp meeting expressions such as getting a hold of the altars of heaven. Man, something within me would stir. And I'd think, I'd love to pray like that and really influence heaven. Some time ago, I began to realize that prayer is never something we do to get God involved. It's something God does through which he lets us get involved. He's the great prayer. This is the way God works. It's the way he expresses himself. He's the great prayer. Ours is always the response. He takes the initiative. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is a response, not passively, but aggressively, nonetheless, a response. And to begin to learn the wonderful, glorious life of prayer lived out in the Holy Spirit. Through walking and living in union with Jesus, with you, I'm discovering that one level of prayer, one reason for praying, is not to influence God, but to fellowship with God. How can we get near to the heart of God without beginning to sense something of God's great hunger to fellowship with us?
He yearns over us. He really believes in us. And he's excited concerning us. I have a young, he's young compared to me. Old compared to a few of you, but his name is Robert Tuttle Jr. Dr. Bob teaches up at Garrett, Evanston, and his father's a minister of the Western North Carolina Annual Conference of the Methodist Church. Bob is, among other things, a jogger. And he was out jogging one morning and worshiping the Lord and having a good time jogging. When all of a sudden, out of the depth of his being, he sensed the movement of the Lord and heard coming up from within him these words, "Bob, the plain truth of the matter is that you turn me on." Now, if you're so dead that doesn't bother you, maybe you better go home tonight. Because the Holy Spirit wants to turn us on. He wants us to come alive to how excited our Lord gets over us. He's more excited over any one of his children than you ever be over any grandchild. The Holy Spirit doesn't think you're just a piece of clay. The Holy Spirit knows you are his workmanship, created under good works. This morning when our precious Marcia was speaking, I heard the Lord whisper in my heart, "Marcia, she's a real piece of work." And you are, darling. You're his workmanship. And he's so proud of you. But he is of me. He is of you. And he wants to fellowship with you. I'm come to condemn you. I've come just to correct you. I've come to love and be loved. Come to walk with you, talk with you, and learning to live in that glad response. He takes the initiative. Doesn't wait for us to come to him. The gospel is not a theological treatise telling us how to reach God. It's a proclamation of the fact that God has reached us. His name, Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. And he comes to us not only in the terms of our own humanity, but he comes knowing our names. And he comes to us in the night, even as to us, Samuel. And there in the depth of your being, Wayne, I knock. It's I. Comes to us across the seas and storms. Be not afraid. It is I. He comes. And comes calling our name, saying, "If you'll open the door, I'll come in." And the word is sup, meaning fellowship. Not "I'll come in and teach you how to dance my tune. Or let you wiggle your webs. But I'll come in and sup with you." Commune. Fellowship. And to have the Holy Spirit bring us to that place. The psalmist must have been speaking concerning when he said, "The shadow of the Almighty." living in that shadow of the Almighty. Do you abide there? Are you with me? Do you know prayer in this regard, which I think is really real basic? Not coming in a frenzied moment, all upset, desperate. God, you know I'm broke again. God, you know how much more we got to have. And fall on your knees and pray 20 minutes. And all the things that I often do. But he said, be still and know that I'm God. 1983, as most of you know, I was healed of cancer. Healed through prayer, first of all, and I loved that a great deal, but cancer came back. And I had the same prayer team to come. I learned how to, learn how to get cancer healed. So I called the prayer team in and do your stuff. They did their stuff. And the cancer wouldn't budge. And the Lord told me and showed me that he was going to do it through surgery. And he did. And it doesn't seem as spiritual, but looking back on it, I want you to know it was as much God as the miraculous prayer. He works through the natural too. But even so, sometime later, a few years later, in examination, the surgeon said to me, I've got to go back in and do a little remedial work. Scar tissue is really blocking the flow of water, and you need some help. But I can take care of it on an outpatient basis, and come on in Friday morning, and I'll put you to sleep and do that work, and you can go home late afternoon. And I came in on a Friday, put me to sleep. I woke up that night in the hospital with tubes running all over the place, hurting. Don't ever get sick in the hospital. Couldn't find a doctor anyplace. Finally, we came in Saturday morning, and what am I doing here? And he said, well, I didn't realize you were in such bad shape, and I did all your body could take yesterday, but I'm not about through with you. And I've got to let you rest up and get built up, and 3 weeks later, I've got you scheduled for the completion. I said, well, get these tubes out of me. I've got 3 Holy Spirit conferences coming up. He said, you had them. I've just talked with your office. And you're going to get rebuilt in 3 weeks, and we're going to complete this work. Well, I got into the office, and I thought, Lord, he tells me the problem here is the flow of water. Holy Spirit is likened unto rivers of living water. Is there any way that I have blocked the flow of the Spirit coming through me? And there was the deepest silence. And I kept waiting. Lord, go ahead, pat me on the head. Say, no, son. He didn't say a word. Deep silence. Lord, you know it's been a good year. You've anointed me. It's been a precious year. Lord, you know I haven't blocked the flow of the Spirit coming through. And then there came the word, son, it has been a good year because you have held steady just enough to stay in the anointing for service. And you've been living right at the edge the whole year. But Lord, you and I have had some good times this year. You remember, don't you? Son, I remember that you've given me your spare time. I'm a jealous God. I want your prime time. And I'd been giving him spare time between preaching sessions just to get another idea, another anointing, A little more love bubbling. A little more energy to lay on hands. Do something great for God. And here's the Lord of the universe deep within me, yearning for prime time. I repented. I cried. I repented. And then I began to give him some prime time. After about the third day of good time together, I entered into that deep place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And I heard within my soul these words: "Welcome home, son. I've missed you." It was the deepest repentance I've ever gone through. Welcome home, son. I've missed you. The Holy Spirit is saying that to some of you. Here's a call of God saying, I'm yours. I love you. I want to fellowship with you. And in the fellowship, we begin to realize that he can teach us and reveal to us his will for our life day by day. And he can give us power to do that will. But it's rooted and grounded in an intimacy of a love relationship that the scriptures call a pregnant condition. Let's bow before him. Father, thank you for letting us realize afresh and anew that anxiety about having children is one of the greatest blocks to becoming pregnant. And one of the greatest avenues is abandoned love, through which two give themselves one to another in love without reservation. I sense that call afresh and anew tonight. The call of God to come unto me. To come unto me. Be still and know. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.